Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series, by VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shop, by Polar, chase your destiny, by Premium Plus Sports, official travel partner of the Tough Man Triathlon Series, Swim Run USA, epic races at epic places, our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We have now sent out 21,000 grants and raised $103 million in our first 25 years. Check us out on Babbittville and on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. How exciting is it to have the Olympic gold medalist from 2008, the two-time Ironman world champion, and gentleman who dominated Ironman 70.3 Oceanside this weekend, Mr. Jan Frodeno. Jan, how the heck are you doing?
Yay, good on you, Bob.
I am spectacular. And when I look at, 22-minute swim, 208 bike, 110.31 run, 3:45 breaking a course record, that's a little bit of a statement. Coming off of last year's Kona, where you had back issues and had to walk some of the run, and obviously as a two-time defending champion, it's not the way you want to spend your day. Sometimes that can be very motivating. Did that motivate your winter?
I think ultimately it did. It was obviously not a great way to finish the season. We all know that Kona carries so much more weight than any other race in the sport. And being one of the old school guys, who takes a long winter break, not necessarily off away from the sport, but I take a long time to prepare and build up. It's just for a long time that you have no chance to sort of get back on a high, that only racing ultimately gives you. So, I was motivated and took some time and asked myself why I'm doing the sport. I've been around the block a few times now and just sort of checking in and checking my pulse, whether I'm still doing it for the right reasons. And the one thing I've learned over the years is that triathlon doesn't have much room for half measures. So I applied myself fully over the winter and I'm just really, really glad it came to fruition.
So when you look back at Kona, what was your takeaway? What happened? It's funny, during our interview, my wife Heidi goes, Jan looks really skinny. And did you feel that you maybe didn't have the power, or is just not your day?
To be honest, I pushed to the watt the exact same power as I did the year before, and the conditions were obviously much faster. I do feel that I was in a fantastic position coming off the bike, considering my running was probably better than it ever had been. I guess, I was lighter than I had been, but, I got all the way through to the marathon. But, my back just seized up and very early on told me there is no hope you're going anywhere, buddy. And that's, in the end, I think that's something you just have to face is Kona. You're never safe. And when you think you figured it out, this race will show you have not. And in that moment, all you can do is pack your bags and keep walking, literally, and that's what I had to do on the day, which is a process. I think that was cherished a lot more than I thought it would be. I really struggled with that in the beginning because as an athlete, you're always looking to win, and when you don't, you expect to just be in silence for ages until the next race. But it was obviously much disgust, and
yes,
I was really happy to see that it actually, in a bad situation, I managed to get someone inspired through it.
Well, you basically made lemonade out of a tough situation. You were out there cheering on Patrick Lange. You know, as age groupers, we always appreciate people who get to the finish line, no matter what. And I think that's the one thing that connects the elite guys, the age group guys. That morning, no one knows when they're in the bay if they're going to finish the race that day. It's a long day.
It definitely is. And if you look at it the next day, how many people are unhappy with the race that they've had. They didn't manage to get their best times because no one ever gets the best time in Hawaii. Hawaii is so much about ups and downs and coming through. These guys have a 9-to-5 job and
right.
They're training, 20 plus hours a week to get fit for this event. And yeah, in some way, I feel that as pros, we also need to pay respect to our fellow competitors, and they are in triathlon also the age groupers.
So it's funny because it sort of puts a different spin on the year before when we chatted. You looked like you were totally in control, and you're like, you know what? I was this close to dropping out. I don't know how many times, and all of us are thinking, yeah, right. Well, this time we saw it. Right? We saw it. It's like, oh my God, Jan's back is seized up, and the best guy in the planet right now is struggling. That's hard to, you know, it's hard to. It's ultimate reality television. People are watching Jan Frodeno, the Olympic gold medalist, two-time world champion, struggle. But at the same time, we appreciate the struggle because that's what this thing's all about.
Yeah, you know, Ironman is much about struggle and ups and downs and you know, going further than you think you can or ever could. And I really think that's the reason why Hawaii is never boring. You know, I mean, I had a lot of people put me down as the head high favorite for the race. And there I was, you know, came in, I don't even know where, but a long way back. And that's something that makes Hawaii unpredictable and that makes Hawaii exciting.
So this year you had 7 minutes back out of the water. You had Lionel Sanders, Cam Wirth, and Sebastian Kienle, three of the top cyclists. And they just went right through the field, right? They caught up and Lionel was, you know, excited. He's got the chopper in front of him up above, and he's leading out towards Javi. Had you raced with Cam before? Obviously, you've raced Lionel. Obviously, you've raced Sebi. And seeing those three sort of dictating what was going on, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. No disrespect to Cam at all, but Cam is, you know, he's from a cycling background, and I knew that his card was played on the bike, and
right.
His day was more or less over after that.
Sure.
And I say that with no disrespect whatsoever.
Right.
And of course, Lionel and Sebi are the ones I was watching. But if I look at where we finished off the bike, you know, and the fact that, as I normally do, I finish strong and I managed to gain back quite a bit of time in the last 40Ks on Lionel. You know, that gave me a lot of confidence because I knew I had the running legs and I did the math running out of transition. And, you know, things were looking out like it could be a really good day. But, you know, even 1K in, I was starting to be fairly skeptical. And next thing I know, I find myself on the ground stretching and sort of my back slowly came better. And I'm like, have I really got to walk 39K just to pay respect to this race?
Yes.
But you know what? It's what you got to do. And, you know, this is my 17th season. Things are not always going to go your way. I've been very, very fortunate and won lots of races. I've lost lots of races. But you can't always have it go your way, apparently. And you know, that's the beauty of sport. It's up and down. It's emotions. And shows that we're human, ultimately.
What was great is last night we were interviewing Lionel Sanders, and he says, Jan Frodeno is sort of that teacher you had in high school who was so demanding, who was always telling you, yeah, it's not quite good enough. It's not quite good enough. Because that's the way I look at, because that's the way I look at Jan. I remember in, you know, 2015, I thought, man, I'm ready to do something special, and Jan schooled me. And then I come back this year, I've had a great off season and trained my butt off. And Jan basically said, not quite good enough, young man. You better get back to work. I love that. I thought that was a great line.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. He's got some good one-liners. You know what the thing is? I mean, for all the talk and all the hype, Lionel and I, we've never really met. I think we kind of see each other at the races and
right.
A bit of chit-chat. But we've never actually even had a chance to talk after a race. And I think it's something we'll probably keep on doing until
yes.
we're both retired. We have a fierce rivalry going on between us. We both desperately want to win.
Yeah.
But you know what? Even I can't help it. I like his style. He, you know, he goes out there, leaves nothing behind, and that's how racing should be. And in fact, he inspires me to push through and get the most out of myself. He's one of those guys. When I have when I struggle to get out the door, then I'm just like, I'm pretty sure he's done his session and posted another PB. Sure enough, I go onto social media and he's actually posted that he has put up another PB. And, that's my sure telltale sign. I better get my butt into gear.
I was telling Lionel that yesterday. I said, he heard he was on stage. You were on stage saying that I go on social media and there's Lionel's post about the workouts that he did that day. And I was like, I might want to sleep in, but I think I better get out there.
Exactly.
What's always great about a small sport is we need rivalries, right? We need Jan Frodeno and Sebastian Kienle and Jan Frodeno and Lionel Sanders because, it is a small sport and it's the major prize is winning Kona or winning Frankfurt or winning something like Oceanside. And, if you finish second or third, it's not quite the same. In a small sport, you sort of have to dominate. You're not really looking to sit down with Lionel and become buddies. Do you have to keep that with Sebi and some of the other guys too?
No, it's not that I'm not looking to become buddies. It's just something that I think is naturally going to go that way. I think, there's no show to it. It's just we appreciate each other's fierce competitiveness and that just won't let us sit down for a beer. Because if I see him sitting down for a beer, I'm like, it's a great time to go for a jog. It's that kind of thing. When he's resting, all right, fair enough, I'll let out the door. But, of course, it's rivalries that make it and that push performance and that push the whole sport. It's what makes watching the racing exciting. And I think a dominance in a sport is never really all that healthy. You need people that challenge and come in and also win races to engage. And I think it's fantastic for the sport.
So Patrick Lange runs 2:39 2 years in a row, breaks a course record, goes 8:01. And I think you guys are going head-to-head in Ironman Frankfurt, and I'm guessing you're looking forward to that.
I am, actually. That's why I chose the race, because I figured, his sponsors, and he is himself from that area. So it's a good chance that I'll meet him there. And I think that was probably my biggest problem last year, is that I physically got ready, but mentally just kind of avoided the competition a little bit, not for any other reason than that's just I chose my races without looking at the competition.
Right.
Not necessarily to avoid them and see something different as well. I've done a lot of races all around and just wanted to see some other ones. But then when you have to face the music and all the big guys are there and everybody's in prime shape, you get a little bit nervous and you're not used to it anymore. And using that nervous energy to turn it into something fiercely competitive. So that was definitely something I've learned from that season. And something I'm looking forward to practicing a little bit more so that come Kona, I'll be ready for that battle.
So Challenge Roth, you had the opportunity to go to Challenge Roth. What was that experience like?
Oh, Challenge Roth is an absolute all-time bucket list race. There is, here we go. That's my call.
Uh-oh, you got to go.
Personal call.
We'll finish that up. Challenge Roth is a great, great event. Jan Frodeno loved it. Huge crowds, drunk Germans
indeed,
on the course, Solar Hill. Hey, Jan, have yourself a great flight. Thank you so much for taking time, buddy.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Bob. See you next time. And thanks for all the great work also you do with CAF. I always really enjoy seeing what you do.
Thank you, buddy. Jan Frodeno has been our guest. Hold on, everybody. We will be right back.